We're in a series on prayer. This is our third one this morning. And we began with a message on secret prayer, getting aside with the Lord in the secret place, in the closet. We talked about the prayer shawls and what they meant historically in Israel. And the prayer shawl meant it was a place where you could tuck out or push out anything else. It was just you and the Lord. And you even see at the wailing wall when they were in their shrouds or their prayer shawls, that meant they were praying to God alone, and the distractions were shut out. A real place for you and Jesus. And last week we talked about the don'ts and the do's of prayer. Don't use vain repetition, and don't be like the Pharisees who stood on the street corners and loudly praying long professional prayers. And they were prayers just to be heard by people, not hearts to be heard by God. Don't be a hypocrite. In the Greek, that word hypocrite means an actor. It means duplicitous. It means double acting or being somebody you're not. And God's looking for somebody when they pray to just be gut level honest. Just gut level honest and real. The Lord doesn't need your thous and thees. He needs just you and He. Just together. We use the example from the scripture of Peter getting ready to sink while he had walked on the water. He didn't stop long enough for vain repetitions and say, Lord, if thou wouldst, mightest, you mightest, would you pleasest help with me? And what he did is cry out, help! And that was the quickest way to the heart of Jesus as Jesus ministered to him and reached out and took his hands. Not an actor, but gut level honest, like remember the tax collector who stood, and you have the Pharisee in the temple saying, oh, I thank God I'm not like this rotten guy over here. But the rotten guy over here is going, Lord, I'm just a sinner. And I know I need you. Please forgive me. Help me. And which do you think the heart of God prefers? The one who knows his need and cries out in tender-hearted prayer. The Bible says he went home met by God. This morning, I want to talk about a theme that's already been here all morning long. Pastor Sherry's fantastic opening, how encouraging as we see how much God loves us. And I love that, the one from the Passion, the arms around us and the, well, where is it this morning? I'll find it because it's wrap around God. You are the wrap around God giving grace to me. How many are glad for that, huh? He's not a God who's far away, who disappeared. He created the world, like the deists used to say. He created the world and then he disappeared. That is not our God. We serve a God who wants to be vitally involved with you and me right here today. Amen, Steve? Amen. Amen. Right there in Kai Tai, Steve had the presence of God all over him. You know, I got to tell you, I'd go in to see Steve in Kai Tai, and just as soon as I get there, I'd bring a crowd with me, because as soon as I get there, I'd sit down, start talking for 30 seconds. He had four other people coming in to visit him. So, you know, it is tough. It is tough with the flu going around. By the way, let me just take an aside and say, we want to continue to pray and believe God for healing power, for victory and strength. We believe God is our healing. God. Now, at the same time, we also believe we have wisdom to be able to exercise toward one another. If somebody is contagious, we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for you, but you don't need to be offended if we glove up and mask up at the same time, because the Holy Spirit can jump through the mask and jump through the gloves and pray for you. But we need to also use wisdom with one another. Amen. So we just need to continue. And the power of God goes through phone calls. And if you're someone out there who is a part of this congregation and you need prayer and you need meals, you need food, you need to let us know. And we stand with you as a family. God is our Father. That's where we're going this morning. God is our Father. And Matthew 6 is the section of scripture that we're in. If you have a Bible, please open it to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, but you want a Bible, there'll be someone get one for you. They're just at the back table. Raise your hand and maybe Chris, you could help someone or somebody who needs one. And if not, I'll have most of the verses up here on your overhead. I just love you to be able to see it in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Your Father knows the things you have need before you ask Him. Please read that with me out loud. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Remember, He's your Father. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is, we talked last week about this pastoral setting, this beautiful setting by Lake or the Sea of Galilee, if you will. And it's just a gorgeous location where they sat down on the fields in front of them. And it's one of the only spots in the world where they literally, in a natural amphitheater, if you will, could hear him. And multitudes are listening to him. And he talks about the Beatitudes. And now the disciples and others say, Lord, how do we pray? And he says, well, you get alone. You don't do it on the street corners. You come. And here's what he says to us almost first and foremost. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. How many think that the disciples probably felt as ineffective at prayer as we do? Especially if they'd heard all the Pharisees forever stand on the street corners. And if that's the model of what prayer is supposed to be, I'll never get there. And Jesus is saying, thank God, don't try. Don't be like that. But it's not hard in a quiet place by yourself to remember that he's your Father who loves you, who cares, who sees, who knows, who hears you. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Jesus comes along and he says, he's my Father. You ask me how to pray. He's my Father. And it's all about, what's the word? Relationship. It's all about relationship, not distant formality. It's those who have prayed in many different backgrounds, they have lots of rote prayers. And in fact, for too many, the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, which was really the disciples' prayer, as Jesus told them how to pray, too many times becomes a vain repetition and people tune out the words. But it's a beautiful model of the heartbeat of what we're to, what to be looking for and what to be doing. And in Jewish culture, sons were seen equally in authority to their dads. And how many times you've seen businesses, such and such and sons business. The authority was there, and you spoke with dad's authority as you would make commitments and as you grew up, of course, in the business. But he would teach his son how to follow him in the trades, and there was an equal authority and equal standing. Now remember, that's what got Jesus in hot water with the Pharisees. You recall from John 5 verse 18, you see it's not up there, but he says he makes himself, the Pharisees decried, he makes himself equal to him. Because he said, God is my Father. Jesus shows us real relationship with God, not distant again. God is not somebody who wants to squash you like a bug if you get it wrong. How many are glad? God is not somebody you have to keep trying to earn your brownie points with until you get good enough to be able to talk to him. Come on, how many can say amen, I'm so glad? You don't have to try to keep earning your way. Jesus already went to the cross. He took your sins and mine. He died. He was buried. He rose again. But on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. And that means for you and me, there's forgiveness available. Jesus took the punishment. We don't have to earn the brownie points. Jesus already was freeing us from sin as he rose again from the dead. The Father said, it's enough. It's finished. Jesus said, it's finished. The Father said, it's enough. Come on, rise up. And we get to say, thank God. I get to come to him, my Father. Now, maybe your fathers were real jerks. We've talked about this before. Now, maybe your fathers were wonderful, but some had difficult situations. All I can tell you is your Father God is not that way. But we are supposed to model our Father God. Come on, guys, how many, that's convicting for you because you knew you weren't perfect in that way. No, me neither. Thank God for the grace of God. But what he shows us is a real relationship through him. Romans 8, verse 29, out of the Message. God knew. Now, this is an interesting scripture. Romans 8, verse 29, and I'm going to use the Message. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. You hear it? The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. In who? In Jesus. Now, you read the King James, you read the NAS and the New King James, and the phrase goes, firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Jesus is Lord and Savior. If you've surrendered your life to him, he calls you then brethren. You have his Father as your Father, and we look at Jesus, and we see that's how we're to be. That's how we're to become. Now, some people believe in predestination. Some people believe, well, he ordained who gets saved and all of that. I believe from the scripture, the point of scripture is God has a purpose and he wants everybody to come to him. Not everybody does, but those who do, his heartbeat is that those people be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. How many in this room want to be just like Jesus? Me too. Anybody besides me got growing room? You know, the old phrase your mom and dad used to say, not soup yet. Now, mom and dad used to say a lot of things like, you're not there yet. Yeah, you're not there yet. But we're not there yet. But we have growing room. But we see where we're going. And it looks just like Jesus. I tell you, I could stop preaching right here. The longing of my heart is to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to talk like him. I want to walk like him. I want to act like him. I know I don't. Some of you could most quickly tell me that. Thanks a lot. But I know I don't. But I sure want to. And I think I'm probably in good company with people who also have that heart. I want to keep growing. And I want to be, pardon me, I want to be what he wants me to be. We're not equal to God like Jesus was equal to God, but we're in his family. Sons and daughters by faith, because God is, he's your Father, and he knows your needs, and he knows mine. He knows how best to help you. And Jesus said, how do you pray? First, just come to your Father. Come to your dad. Number two, relationship gives you bold access to God. Come on, say that with me. Relationship gives you bold access to God. Now, how many know when you're not in right relationship with God, you don't feel too bold approaching him in prayer? But he's made an avenue called forgiveness and grace to be able to come to him so you can come boldly. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many are glad his faithfulness is new every morning? Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. His mercies are renewed. Out of the message, I love this. So let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Come on, say it with me. Take the mercy, accept the help. One more time. Take the mercy, accept the help. Point at your neighbor and say, you need to do that. So remember, he's saying, so Jesus, how do we pray? And he says, come to your Father, but come boldly. Remember, he knows what you need before you ask him. So then you think, well, why should I ask him then? Because he's dad. And dad wants to talk to you about it, about the longing of your heart and the desire of your heart. And you don't embarrass him. That's a big deal, isn't it? You don't embarrass him. Your need doesn't bother him. He says, come. In bold, loving relationship with your Father. You're part of his family now. And Jesus says, not only are you my brother and sister, God is your Father, and now you get to be living in my house. We come home together every Sunday when we gather, don't we? Church is not a building. Church is his people, and the house of God is his people, and we gather together, and we're home. In God's house. Welcome home. Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10 out of the New King James. In this matter, therefore, because of this, all this relationship, therefore, pray, our Father. Latin, Pater Noster, our Father. Now, in my family, some of you have met over the years, Chris and Carmen, my middle son and his wife, who pastors the Four Square Church in Butte, Montana. And we share on the phone together about the messages the Lord has put on our heart and the great things God is doing. And he gets, you know, I remember when he was in Wenatchee as a youth group leader, one night after he preached, 80 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit moved. And he calls me up to tell me this great news. Dad, 80 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I go, yay, how come that didn't happen for me? I go, man, praise God. I remember telling that to Pastor Carl when he was still alive. And Pastor Carl and I looked at each other. We've never had that happen. No, it's just fantastic. But anyway, Chris and Carmen are very loving parents. I'm sure Chris would say the same thing I always say. We married up. But the heart for them is very loving for their children. They have two sons that are their own. And then they have little Lorna. I call her my Lorna Dune. Little Lorna is a live wire and knows how to push every button those two guys have. And I kind of delight in it. Come on, guys, toughen up. Come on, come on. Anyway, little Lorna is one of the delights of their life. She is very strong. She had a lot of needs in a previous situation. And they still work from time to time with the results. But she's the delight of their life, and they adopted her. And I remember my son calling me crying. And you remember probably those who were here, a message that he preached about, she's ours. She's ours. And you go to the New Testament and you read about adoption. And adoption, we're God's adopted kids. But those kids, now they have two other foster children. Wild as can be, but cute as can be. And we've realized we can't have them at Christmas time. We can have them in the summertime so they can go outside and blow off that steam. So, right? Oh, please don't tell them. I know this is on the computer. You didn't hear that, Chris and Carmen. But they're just live little wires. But here's the thing. They call Chris and Carmen mom and dad, dad and mom. And when it's time for them to come in, they don't knock on the door and ring the doorbell. They barge right on in. Yeah. But the neighbor can't do that. The neighbor doesn't dare do that. Or somebody from across the street, they don't know. They don't dare do that. But those children have security and authority and family and somebody to feed them, clothe them, and protect them. And somebody who prays for them, tucks them in at night. And so do you in the house of God, in the presence of God and in relationship with Him. You're not somebody he doesn't know down the street if you've surrendered your life to Jesus. What does it take? It takes saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Come into my heart. Save me. I surrender my whole life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. And his arms are open wide. He goes, my kid. God gives bold access because you know you belong when you're in relationship with him. He's got the big picture. So praise him. He's got the big picture. Our Father, the Bible says, how do we pray? Our Father, what? Who art in heaven. He got the big picture. He looks down on earth, the Bible says, and laughs at those who think God is nothing and they try to throw him into the corner and do their own thing. Ultimately, that will be judged. As God is in control. Well, if God's a loving God, why did all that stuff happen? God is a loving God. All that stuff happened because a lot of men and women made the wrong choices. But God can still forgive and restore. He's got the big picture. Matthew 6, 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We praise your name. Make sure the name of the Father is praised. Jesus' name is worshiped. Matthew 6, 9, the Passion. Pray like this. Look at this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Whoa! May your name be the center on which our lives turn. What name is most important to you? Jesus. Who do you love? Jesus. Who do you want to be like? Jesus. Who's your hero? Jesus. You know, you get these security questions on computers and or people ask you, you know, we got a few security questions. So what's your favorite book? The Bible. What do you like to read? The Bible. What do you do? Read the Bible. Who do you love? Jesus. Who's your hero? Jesus. Because he came and he saved me. And I love him because he first loved me. He's got the big picture. Father God sees you, knows what you're going through. Don't ever forget God sees you, and knows what you're going through. I remember in high school, you know, we all have different kinds of friends. And I remember I had a close friend, but I just could not abide something he did. And he did it every day. And, you know, I'd ever had big words with him about it. I just couldn't do it. He used to call his mom and dad by the first name. You're saying, I tried that in my house, bam! Yeah. The right hand of fellowship. But in my heart, listen, they weren't perfect. My parents weren't perfect. They were not. But I had a home. I had clothing. I had shelter. I had different things. And some of you may not have had all that. But God, your Father, is to be respected, loved, and praised. And no matter how difficult it was with my parents, I wasn't going to call them by their first name. I was ultimately thankful for what they did for me. But where they failed, Jesus will take you up and heal you. So we want to do everything we can, be everything we can to bring him praise, to live for the glory of his name. Today, listen carefully, just for a moment, would you? Today, there are a lot of people who make God in their own image. We are created in the image of God. But part of the problem with our society today is people are fashioning God in their own image. Truth is relative. Your truth, my truth. How many know that's a lie? There is the truth, and here it is. 66 books, 40 authors, over 2,000 years in three different languages with a consistent theme of a loving God who wants to redeem his people from Genesis right through to Revelation. It's the most miraculous book ever written because the author is God. Translated into over 2,000 languages, the next closest, Shakespeare in 50 languages. The best-selling book of all time remains the truth, the Word of God. And we apply it to our lives as best we can. Where we err in understanding, always err on the side of interpretation that gets me as close to God as I possibly can get, not as far away from him and still be okay. You hear what I'm saying? Can I do this? Can I do that? Well, if Jesus walked to the room right then, right now when you were doing it, how would you feel? Maybe I won't do that. Would you invite Jesus to participate with you? Maybe I won't do that. I want to do that which is going to help me grow as close to him as I can. If God is someone or something you've created, then he, she is already weak, compromised, and ineffective, limited by your imagination, and is no bigger than you. What are you going to do then when your problems become overwhelming? And they will. If God is who you've created and your truth is not the truth, what are you going to do when the tough times really come? And they will. You have a loving God who welcomes you to himself, who says, my word is truth. That's what the Bible says. Number three, his will be done. Real problems need a real God for real answers, and the answer is Jesus. His will be done. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. How do we pray? Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Out of the Passion. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. Now, the Greek word for kingdom is the Greek basileia. Can you say that with me? Basileia. No, I didn't say bossa nova. Basileia. It means kingdom. And it's translated in the King James. It's translated kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom, general or evil, thy kingdom, thine kingdom, his kingdom, the kingdom. And it's totally in the Bible about 162 times. It means literally royalty, rule, a realm, his kingdom, and to reign. A king is king over a dominion, over his realm. And Jesus, you even heard it this morning in the prophetic word. I am what? King of kings, Lord of lords. He rules, he reigns. And it means we're under his authority, but he is the final authority. We have authority. The Bible calls us kings and priests to our God. But we're under his authority, and he's got the final authority. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He's the king of the kingdom. He is in charge. Say it with me. Jesus is in charge. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is received as Lord and reigns in our lives. We have all known throughout history of wicked tyrants who killed people, slaughtered people, horrific people. That is not our God. Our God is a loving Father and a righteous God. And where evil has been done, he does everything he can to cause people to turn around, yield to him, surrender, and heal the broken hearts. And when he's on the throne of our hearts, what we want is what he wants, right? You know when you've surrendered to God, because in your heart of hearts, you're sitting there going, I want what you want. I want what you want. Some of you have been in the military. How many think that today's attitude of I'll do it my way would fly when you were in the military? Your commanding officer says, go do this. And you go, I don't think so. You also would get the right hand of fellowship, right? And what he's saying is this prayer is, Lord, as it is in heaven, where you are totally in control and everything does what you want it to do, and it's a fantastic place. Come on, church. Heaven is going to be a fantastic place. No more tears. No more sorrow. We're going to see some of the people we love that we know have gone there ahead of us, and they're waiting for us to welcome us in, and they'll look at us and say, what took you so long? And you'll say, you know, I screwed up enough times. I was really working on getting here sooner. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more pain, but the presence of God and his joy, and we get to worship him. We know heaven is a beautiful place where he's in charge, where your daughter is. But Jesus says, so what I want you to pray is, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. This dust and clay, this earth, I yield and surrender to you. Let me do your will. Just like heaven responds, I want to respond and be your heart here on earth. Reign in my life, Lord. Let heaven be in me. And when people look around and they say, what's Jesus like? What's heaven like? Don't you want to be able to say, well, take a look at my life and my home and my family. And there's an ouch experience in there for some of us, or how about all of us? because we know it's not fully there yet, but overall, they should be able to look at us and say, ah, I see. I see what Jesus is like. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He sent his spirit inside, because you look at me and you go, I can't do this perfectly. Me neither. That's why he sent his spirit to live inside. The scripture says to be our teacher, to remind us of his words. And the Bible says he writes his words on our heart and on our minds. And he changes us one person at a time from the inside out. That's why prohibition didn't work. Are you kidding me? You can't, you shan't, you won't, you don't. And everybody said, oh yeah, we will. But when change comes here from the inside, I go, you know, what I used to do, I don't want to do anymore. Yeah. That show I watched before, I remember just even a few months ago, Pastor Sherry and I were talking about something. There was a show, I can't remember what it was now, but I recommended people, hey, this is a great one, this is great. And we watched this episode. It was horrifying. I go, oh, and Sherry turns to me, she goes, you better not tell people anymore to watch this, okay? I went, I think you're right. But he changes us bit by bit. So Lord, oh God, with all my heart, please let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There was a son who did not want his father's rule. Said, give me all that I have coming to me from your inheritance. I'll take it now, because I don't want to be here anymore. We've all been like that at times in our own lives. And he went, and he left his father's house and his father's home, and he wasted it all on wickedness and sin, on prostitutes and gambling and drunkenness and different sins for different people, different strokes for different folks. He wasted his life, ran through his money, doing what was right in his own eyes. And he ended up broke, eating pig's food. That's what sin does in each of our lives. Come on. We end up right there. I've had my own way, and this is where it took me. But the Holy Spirit keeps working. Keeps working by his grace. And he says, come home, son. Come home, daughter. Quit being a pig. It's time to come home. And he keeps drawing us to himself. And maybe we don't go as far as the prodigal did. Maybe we just know in our hearts from day by day when we've grieved the Holy Spirit. And when we stop making excuses, we go, I did it. It's nobody else, it's me. I did it. And I want your presence more than I want that sin, Lord. So the scripture tells us that he came to his senses, just in the same way we're talking. I don't want this anymore. It's not satisfying. I want what's back at Dad's house. I want what's in God's house. I don't want to be out on my own anymore. I don't want to do this thing anymore. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be lost in sin. I don't want to be going to hell. I want to be heaven bound. I want to see Jesus. I want to be in his presence. I know that people will love me and care for me. And no, I'm not perfect and neither are they, but we're going to grow together. Come on, it's time. Shake yourself. I'm going home. And his dad, the Bible says, was looking out. See if dad, his son had come home. And you stop and you go, was that a wimpy dad? No, it was a loving father. And maybe you've had sons and daughters who've done things, and you may not stand at your window literally day by day but in your heart of hearts, you're begging God that they will come home. And he welcomed his son home. Not everyone comes. Not everyone returns. But today, if you've wandered away, come home to Father God. Come home to him. If you're with him, remember these keys from Jesus. He's your Father. And that relationship gives you boldness and access with your Father God, who wants to hear your heart. Pray to this Father God who loves you, who cares, and who wants to be the loving King, who hears, forgives, and restores. So my question is, what kind of God do you expect? Your Father knows you. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? We're going to go back to I Stand Amazed. If you have any areas of your heart where you know the Lord has been working or convicting, where he's been saying, come on, let that go. It's time to let me take that, forgive, and restore. Give it to him this morning, even as we pray and sing this song again. If you need prayer here, there'll be some folks over here in the chairs who will pray for you. We'll be honored to do so. If you just want to come up and spend time up here in prayer, come do so. The Lord loves you. I want you to know it. Deep down in your heart of hearts today, Jesus loves you. Can you say that? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Father, I pray for your precious people this morning who've come here. And we thank you that, Father, you're the one who knows us. And when we don't even know ourselves, you're the gracious God who does. So we come and we ask you this morning, Lord, to minister to each one. And as they go from this place, let us go with such a gratitude in our hearts and spirits, knowing we serve and love a Father who loves us so much, who knows us right to our core and gives us grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord.